Good morning. It's Sunday morning, October 11th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time together, Lord, that there would be a flow of your Spirit, that we would enter into that flow, Lord, that that flow would take us where you would want us to be, Lord, that we would surrender to you, surrender to that flow, surrender to the truth and light that is in your word. Oh, do that fine work in us, Lord, that make us fully available to all that you have for us. That is surely a lot. Oh, that we would not close ourselves off from any of that, Lord. Do that good work in us. And it's a work of grace. We come naturally as ones that have our own agenda. So, Lord, wash that from us. Wash it from us by your Spirit and your blessing on our time again today, Lord. Amen.
Well, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. If you continue in my word, you're my disciple. And then you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And this is kind of we don't recognize it as such, but it's kind of a personal statement. And by that I mean, not everybody is going to know the truth as you do at the same time. And not everybody is going to be made free at the same time. And what we need is wisdom to not take a truth that we have, that we know is a truth, and forcefully feed it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And one of the tendencies, and a human tendency, is to want to blab everything. That's not the right word, but yeah, I'll say
that's a pretty good word, I think.
It's to blab everything we know, and or we think we know, and let the chips fall. But I'm beginning to realize, John 8:31 is actually a personal verse. It's a personal thing. In other words, Keith Gunn, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. Or whoever it is, personal. And then you'll know the truth. How do you know the truth? Well, I think that, you know, it's like it says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I think that after you hear things over and over and over enough, eventually faith comes in and you know that that's the truth. I understand the truth of that statement. And we've come into a number of revelations of truth, and I know that they're truth. At the same time, somebody else might not know that they're the truth, you know. And so you can't forcefully present a truth and think that everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, I see it, because they probably don't. it takes time for a person to see it. A lot of things that we are understanding this truth, or that I understand, it took me time. I had to hear the scriptures over and over, and in other scriptures. The Bible says, let everything, every word be established through the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I don't know if we fully understand what that means, but every truth that's in the scriptures are probably put in there in a half a dozen places at least. And as you hear one that reinforces another one, it becomes truth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You hear it, and that's why it's so vital and important that we continue on to hear it. Jesus said, if you continue to, you know, if you continue in my word. And I don't know how many things that after I heard it presented enough, I realized, you know, I know what the truth is here. This is the truth. Because it says it here, and it says it here, and it says it here, and it says it here. It repeatedly says the same things over and over and over. After a while, you put two and two together, and you come up with four. Instead of five and eight, you know, as you used to. Hmm. And so anyway, but just because we know, or we think we know, or have a pretty good idea, doesn't mean that we have to try to force feed somebody. And as I get truth, you know, as the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. As He guides me into truth, somebody else might not be guided in the same way. So we have to have discernment. We have to have judgment. We have to, you know, be really, really, really careful. And otherwise, we can actually take a truth and destroy somebody and force them ahead of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when it says He will guide you into truth, who's He talking about? Who? Who's He going to guide into truth? Mm-hmm. It has to be the individual guidance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can help each other. And especially the type of a ministry that we have seen through the, you know, through 1 Corinthians 14, as the prophets speak something that God reveals to them, and then it says that ye all may learn. Well, we learn through that process, but it's still the guidance of the Holy Spirit that's doing it. And we will never really come to the revelation of truth without the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
You know why? God set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't bypass what God sets up. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you. He will lead you. He will teach you. In different ways, you know, and that's where our help is. He's called the helper. Well, of course He's a helper. If it wasn't for Him, it wouldn't help to have our cataracts removed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, once we realize we don't have the truth, is the beginning of getting the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, why seek it if you already got it?
Mm-hmm. Hope is not hope.
Right.
And that's one of the problems with church, and it's always been. churches establish doctrines, and they say, you know, if you want the truth, come to our church. And what they're saying is, we have voted on it, and we have come to this conclusion. This is our understanding, and so we know that this is the truth. I've been in a lot of these churches. I've been a part of them. I have thought that myself.
know, that Search for Truth program, it had the right name, but the process was wrong.
It was a wrong approach, yes.
But it had the right name.
Yeah.
Search for Truth is what we want.
But what the bottom line of that book was, but we know what truth is.
All right. Yeah, finish the flip chart, and hey, you got it.
Yeah. And what it did, it left a lot of people closed off to truth, including me.
You know, when Jesus said, if you continue in my truth, then you'll be my disciple. You know, I think truth is a continuing thing. You know, it's a dynamic, continuing thing. It's not, you don't grab hold of this static thing. It's continuing. It's flowing. It's, you know. So if you join in that continuing thing, then you'll be his disciple. I don't quite know how to express it, but you know.
Well, we've learned, you know, that. About the unfolding revelation. Our truth is an unfolding revelation. Mm. And you get some truth, and then you need to have this whole, the Word reveal more truth to us. And the humanity of Christ, that's not a known thing to the church. The church system, and it's because of church doctrine. It's not because of the Bible. In the Bible, Jesus is a man. But the traditions of the church down through the years have painted Jesus as a God. And so from the scriptures we see that he didn't say he was. And we have too many scriptures that say that that's not who he is. And he has a scriptures like the one that says, when the Son of Man returns. And it's like, why did he say the Son of God returns? Or why did he say, or God the Son returns? Because that's not who's returning. He's going to return. And it says that when he does return, and we see him, we're going to be like him, because we will see him as he is. And the angel said, when he left, he said, he will return as he left. You know, as you see him go, he's coming back.
You know, the scripture, and we've said it a lot of times, that there's an aspect of it that all of a sudden just jumped out. And it's Philippians 3:21. And you said some of it. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed. And what was interesting is to his glorious body.
That's a funny way of expressing it, isn't it?
Well, the way it came out is because we've been talking so much about God is spirit. So here it's saying he's not God because he's got a body, you know? And according to the working by which he is able to do all things to himself. But, and actually the verse before it's saying, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. It doesn't say his glorious spirit, glorious body, you know. And yeah, it's just another one of those scriptures that's just sitting there,
yeah,
confirming his humanity.
Yeah. Keith, as you were sharing, you know, we will see him as he is, for we will be like him. I think to see him as he is to recognize that we will be like him. Namely, he's got a body, we got a body. And it would be to see him as he is, we'd say, ah, I get it. It's, this thing is a body. We'll see him as he is.
Yeah.
And we'll be like him. We'll be recognizing the ways in which we are like him. Like, we got a body, he got a body. You know? I think.
Well, it says in, was it in the fifth chapter of Ephesians? It says, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And, I mean, that's not an isolated scripture. But that is one. There's other scriptures that say basically the same thing. I'm not so sure, and again, this is not necessarily a truth statement, but I'm hoping it is. I'm not so sure, but that, you know, where it says this mortal will put on immortality, and this, what's the other word?
This corruption will put on incorruption.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that as they saw him in Luke 24:39, I'm not so sure that that we're going to be changed something like we are, except we'll be immortal.
I'll be recognizable somehow.
Yeah. God created man in his image. And so somehow, we're not going to be changed from God's image. Somehow we're in God's image now. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to just, you know, here's Jesus. And when I saw him in Luke 24, he's a man. And they're saying, they looked at him and said, well, because he walked through the wall, he must be spirit. And he makes a statement, and he says, does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have? And the obvious thing is, no, it doesn't. And it's a possibility about one of the only things in the likeness that we don't have between us and God is flesh and bones. We may be a real similar in a lot of aspects to God. You know? I don't know. Don't build any doctors on it.
Saw in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And I thought, now what does that mean? You know, somehow it's putting us all with him there somewhere. As a body, you know.
Yeah.
Says he's the head of the body of the church, you know. But that, I just thought that was kind of, that's you know, that's at the bottom of when it says all the things that different ones can be doing in the spirit.
What verse is that?
The different gifts. 12:12, 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
So it's like, yeah, well, and then later on it does say, like, over in, you are the body of Christ. Now, yeah, 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Sure connects us with him.
That might be what's going on in verse 12. Funny way of expressing it, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to express it just like that. Nothing funny about it.
Oh, well, I'm thinking after the manner of man. You know, things that look funny get my attention. Because, hey, there's some revelation there. It's not immediately apparent. Yeah, that's what I mean by funny.
I was thinking, as Keith said, so why do we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in the truth of the Word? And what jumped in my mind is because you're not smart enough.
Yeah.
Because you can't get it without it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's our spiritual revelations.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind, is that equipped as such to get the spiritual revelations without the Holy Spirit?
Right.
This is kind of interesting in Philippians 3, verse 15. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained.
Live up to what we've already attained.
Attained. And then God will make clear the differences. Give us truth, in other words. That's the way I read it.
Where is this said?
This is in Philippians, chapter 3, verse 15.
I like where it kind of says, what you don't know.
God will make it clear.
Yeah. Obviously, so you don't know everything.
Right.
But you got to live up to what you've already attained.
Yeah. I just thought it kind of fits in on the side.
Oh, yeah. This New King says it kind of.
Yeah, what translation are you reading from?
I think I'm in the NIV. Yeah,
okay.
NIV, yeah. What did yours say, Kim?
Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So it's still saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And then the next verse, nevertheless, what we've already attained, let us walk by the same
rule. Yeah.
Let us be of the same mind.
Same
thing.
So we just have to trust that God's going to reveal what we need when we need it. And in
that particular scripture's had a little bit of work.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that's, I mean, the King James, not the New King James. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And all three of them are saying the same thing, but they go about it. When you first read it, I double checked. I went, sure, read it again? 3:15?
Philippians 3, verse 15.
Yeah.
It was different enough that I went, well,
wait a minute.
Really ponder on that. And then you read it, and I go, well, okay.
I must say, yours makes it clearer, though.
Well,
or at least more accessible.
Well,
hey, I get what's said there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not so true of the King James.
No, you get rid of therefores and ye minded and,
right.
And otherwise minded.
Right.
The extra.
You got to go, okay, what's that really say? In English this time.
But I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, it certainly opens up to the fact that if God's in charge, we're going to get to be where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really think is where Keith started off by saying, if you are led and guided by the Holy Spirit and not by a church doctrine, you will get where God wants you to be, and you will end up being like-minded, which kind of ties into, there will be unity among the body because you're all listening to one voice and not to the voices of men.
And you have to be willing to let go of anything that you think you know for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's what Paul says in these verses in the third chapter. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Okay? down in verse 15, let us therefore, in the King James, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. He said he wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
You want to confuse me a little?
But anyway, no, but I understand what he's saying. And as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And then in the seventh chapter of Romans, he gives a resume of himself, and it don't look very good. You know, he says, the good thing that I want to do, I don't do. And of course, you know what? A lot of these things, without the Holy Spirit, you'll never get it. You'll never understand it. Because not only do you read of his obvious difficulties, but you also see some real revelations in the next chapter, where it says, you know, we with the mind we serve the law of God. With the flesh, we're still subject to sin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we can't help it. No matter how hard we try, we're still subject to sin. But, and especially by an ongoing relationship with God's Word, after a while, the mind becomes Word conscious. Is that a good way to put it?
It becomes Word conscious, you say?
Yeah.
Well, if you become spiritually minded, the Word of God, it sounds good.
Okay. Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah. That was crashing through as you were.
You know what I really like about Romans 7? Is Paul, who was trained and taught by Jesus himself, comes back and says, you know, da 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 da. I mean, it's really a very hopeful setting, because it says, you know, I really have these issues and I'm trying to overcome them, and I don't want to have these issues. It's just a real, I mean, it's a way of saying, yeah, that's where I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I live. It's like, I wish I wasn't doing the things that I don't want to do. I know I don't want to do them, but I still do them. And there's kind of a great promise in that, because thank God you can get past that.
I was just thinking that how then when it says, God has not given you any temptation that you cannot turn away, whatever. And I'm going, where, how? When does that happen?
And it might, that scripture might not mean what we, the way we interpret it, like maybe, you know.
One could hope.
Well, it doesn't put you in a black hole that there's no climbing out of.
True.
I don't think God puts, you know.
Well, and I suppose, now that I think about it, it doesn't say how many times you may give in before you turn away.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, right.
But in the end, he should get you through it.
It's hopeful.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's just like it kind of goes in with, then you could put it with Romans 7. You know,
yeah.
Right.
You just have to accept what he's going to do in you.
Yeah, it's like, man, you know,
sometimes
do I have to ask for the strength to turn it away, or do I just have to set my mind, and, you know, and that doesn't sound right, because then that's you doing it in your flesh.
Yeah, right.
It's just that's a toughie.
Well, if there's any correlation between how many times you have to forgive someone else, your enemies, and you say, well, then how many times do I have to ask God to help me with something?
I've used that many times talking to him. 70 times 7 in one day. I may challenge you on that. Forgive me that many times.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't have children, but the one verse that always helped me with that was where it says, you know, you who would love your children and would forgive them for their sins, how much more will the Heavenly Father forgive you for yours? And I, you know, and that always really impacted me, because we're pretty forgiving of our children or nieces and nephews or family or whatever. And we are very limited in that compared to what God is.
Yeah.
Which always kind of gave me this, the river of grace is wide and deep.
I was curious, Keith, I was sitting here and thinking about what you brought in the beginning. And I was wondering what spurred you to have that train of thought of not beating somebody with the truth or whatever, you know? Not forcefully giving somebody the truth and whatnot. I was wondering what brought that train of thought.
Well, one of the things is it requires the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to everybody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it, but I've watched people try to beat somebody over the head with a truth. And all they do is get them mad and confused. You have to wait. Even, you know, you have to have patience. You got to wait for God to give them the same revelation. And
In 1 Corinthians 13, that isn't one of the definitions of love, patience?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And isn't that one of the things that we fall really short of?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and sometimes for good reasons, you want to share what God has given to you, so you too can be filled in that way and be excited. But you can't force feed.
No. Yeah. As you were talking about that, Keith, we're familiar with the idea of a thread of truth. Well, what do you do with threads? You know, you weave them in with a bunch of other threads of truth, and you've got the woven thing that you've got there is a piece of cloth that you can make a garment out of or whatever. But aren't we weaving together many threads of truth? Isn't that the truth that we...
Yeah.
And no, you can't hurry that. That's a process. That weaving process, you know, you get one thread over there, you know, when you get the thing that you make, the way you make clothes is to do that weaving there with the threads. And I think in this similar way, if you, the truth is like a garment of truth or something.
Yeah, and then, and Shannon and I were talking about that this morning. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, through faith we understand that the heavens, I think it's Hebrews 11:3, I think. Through faith we understand that the heavens were created by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? That is almost like you could put a period at the end of understand. Through faith we understand. Because it's through faith we understand everything. And without faith it is impossible to please God. So faith faith is a thing that we desire, that we need, that God gives us. And faith comes by hearing and by the Word of God. So you put all these things together and it paints a different picture than what we have been taught or used to. We were talking about that this morning. I said, you know, there was a time when I was convinced that you become godly by education. You know? But the Bible doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, it says God hides these things from the wise and the prudent and reveals them to babes. And then Jesus said, for it seemed good in your sight, Lord, you know, our Father, you know. this is what you wanted. This is what appears good to you. But if it appears good to God, then it better appear good to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there was a time having a little bit of education. There was a time when I looked at it and I thought, well, what we need comes by education. So find the smartest, wisest, whoever, and then I read in the scriptures that it's just the opposite. As a matter of fact, God chooses foolish things to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm.
If he chooses them, I think one of the things that he chose to confound the wise is tongues.
Yeah.
That makes absolutely no sense. But it does make sense, you know.
Well, I think it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't speak in tongues and be prideful.
Mm-hmm.
It humbles you.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants humility.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm only being disagreeing to make a... I'm teasing. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But tongues are certainly not a... You don't look very prideful speaking in tongues.
Well, certainly in the natural.
To the natural, exactly.
Yeah. You know, you were saying, Keith, that God chooses the foolish things. And we better too.
Yeah.
We better choose the foolish things.
To confound the wise.
Uh-huh.
You know, His forgiveness is very foolish to a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
They can't believe that, well, you can't just get forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah, you might still have to, you know, pay the price by the courts or whatever, but you can be forgiven of anything. You know, and that's foolishness to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
They think it's not fair. Well.
No, it's not fair.
Because after he's supposed to die.
Right. Yeah, it's, yeah.
The sting of death.
That's, grace is not fair.
No.
It's just not fair. In fact, it's the opposite of fair. Mm.
Yeah, it's like that proverb, you know, that parable where it's working all day.
How's that fair?
Yeah.
It's not.
But it is fair to the guy that's doing it.
Well,
it's fair to him.
I hope he recognizes it as grace as opposed to something he thought he deserved.
No, I mean the guy that's paying.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy that's paying.
Yeah. Well,
it kind of explains it. It says, I set up the rules and you said it was fine.
Yeah.
The fact that I gave someone else better terms later is, what are you griping about?
Can I give my money to however I want to give my money?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not today.
It's funny how, you know, that concept of fairness is pretty basic. It's something my dogs get. If I give a treat to one dog and the other dog doesn't get a treat, you know that dog feels that is really unfair.
I don't like you no more.
No, right. Whoa. This just is not fair.
Sometimes we think that way, though.
Oh my, yes, we do.
I catch myself on that a lot.
Yeah.
It's a base behavior of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, we use it more, and it's always, we really want some mercy, but don't always give it.
Yeah, to give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's tough to get ahead of. The other guy's getting just as much as you are. You know?
Or more.
That doesn't seem right. Yeah. So, Keith, by some of the scriptures you brought this morning, that we're going to have bodies and have a form, does that mean we're going to recognize each other in heaven?
Yeah. I don't know if who knows. I'd have to be there to tell you that.
It's like we always say,
well,
somebody
died. Well, it seems kind of silly in a way to not recognize it. You know, what would you be then? You know, like a low entity?
If you were going to be there in a bodily form.
But that's kind of already answered. When the disciples saw Moses and the other Elijah.
They recognized
Jesus.
They recognized
him. It was long before their time.
And they recognize. When Christ comes back,
I would have to say, yeah.
When Christ comes back, he'll come back as he recognizes them leaving.
Yeah.
So,
I wouldn't prepare, really.
Well, a different thing, but I mean, there's a pretty big teaching out there that says, you won't know, and da 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 da, and I'm going,
or if a spouse dies and then the other one dies, so they're hooked.
Sounds like nirvana, which is not a Christian concept. Nirvana is, you know, where a little bit of water that's thrown into the ocean to spread all, you know. That's not heaven.
No.
We're going to know a lot when we're in heaven. And I think one of the things we'll know is to recognize people that, and that's part of the thing that would be great about heaven. You were aware of this person's shortcomings, the bad things that they did during the course of their life, and here they are in heaven. It would just boost your appreciation of what's going on in heaven.
Glory to God.
You know? Yeah, glory to God. That's right. Exactly. Glory to God.
I don't think you would remember the bad things about somebody once you're in heaven. You'd only know the good.
Maybe.
You're not really in heaven then. You know what I'm
wipe away every
year.
What's possible?
I think you get caught on.
I don't think I believe that.
Well, it wouldn't. I mean, you wouldn't be negatively affected by the bad things. You'd appreciate the good work of God. But maybe you would recognize them as not truly bad because they were an opportunity for God's grace. I don't know. You know.
Well, Jesus said that we were going to get a new name, or there will be written on us a new name, or whatever it is. Maybe we'll all have name tags.
Maybe we'll all have the same name.
Right.
Well, I do, you know, one of the other concepts in one of the songs we sing or play, will we be so consumed with the glory of God that literally nothing else will register or matter? Yes, I think that's a great question. I tend to think that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
At least, because I've often said, yeah, I don't think there's a, and maybe it's because of some of our past, but I don't think there's a ranking, you know, first one in, last one in. I just think you're in. And if you're in the presence of God and you have eternal life, nothing else is going to matter.
Oh, that's great.
Well, I think the glory of God will be the best thing about heaven. You know, that will be, it'll be the best thing. But I bet in heaven we can walk and chew gum at the same time. That we'll be able to recognize and appreciate, you know, the good things in our brothers and sisters. But the glory of God will certainly be the best thing.
Well, in some ways you'd have to think that's true because you'd want to recognize the fact that you are in heaven and the grace.
But maybe it'd be kind of minor compared to the glory of God.
So we know so little of God that when we get there, we're going to be just so consumed with knowing
seeking,
so much more.
Seeking more knowledge.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's how I think.
That sounds right.
Like a little child.
We're going to be so expanded and so open that.
Yeah.
I think, it's just, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. Because right now I have not even a drop.
Did you
It's funny.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that song.
Actually, there's an amazing testimony behind that song too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in heaven, you're not going to know who's not in heaven.
I don't think there'll be room for that.
No.
But when you get there, you might be surprised of who's there.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
You never could figure.
Which is part of what makes it great.
I think during judgment maybe is where you're going to
see which line people end up in.
Maybe.
Well, it's just you.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see what he's doing with other people. It'll be you.
Yeah, it'll be you. And you're going to be focused on.
Well, I only threw out that tidbit because we've been spending a fair amount of time recognizing flesh and bone and realizing that Christ has left as flesh and bone and he's coming back as flesh and bone. And so, at some level, body is being retained.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And we're
glorified body than it is.
Yeah. And
right.
we're not.
Yeah.
And there's
that kind of does away with the nirvana idea, doesn't it, where we're just in a great sea, undifferentiated from all the other stuff.
Something cool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Spirit is floating here and there.
Yeah.
That's
funny, when Barb came in this morning, I was looking her over here because of her. In fact, she had surgery here this week, saying, if I can tell how she's doing, you know. And I was, it put me to thinking about Barb some, you know, and looking her over.
I read without my glasses.
And I somehow, in some odd way, Barb, I saw you glorified in heaven.
Wonderful. Thank
you. And it was a real nice experience seeing you glorified and, you know, with a glorified body, you know. I wouldn't call it exactly a vision, but
something,
you know.
Wonderful.
Yeah, something like that. For what that's worth.
It's worth a lot. Gives me more faith. I do believe.
Mm.
Like I keep telling the kids, don't worry about me. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what, I know where I'm going to be and where my home is. I know. And I tell other people that, and they go, how can you know? I just know. Can't explain it to you. You got to experience it on your own.
If that's the objective of the life, you got to make sure that it happens.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And some people really don't have that objective. You know, we're talking about, you know, Shannon and I were talking about that this morning, the same thing. It's like, if the objective of our life while we're here on earth is to be with God and to love God, whatever else, he'll make a way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And while we sit and fret and worry about it, you know, he knows how to make the way.
I can't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Faith and grace. And
yeah. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. They that would come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, it says the King James. You know, and it's like, is that kind of what's starting to happen to us?
Mm-hmm.
A diligence. I want it. You want it. And the only one that can make sure it happens is God.
Mm-hmm.
And a pastor of a church can't make sure. Usually what they'll do is ru- you know. He doesn't have to, but that's usually what happens.
Points you in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I remember reading, there was an economist who was kind of a celebrity intellectual economist, and he was giving a talk in front of people, and apparently he was agnostic or atheist or whatever, but he was, they was posed the question, well, what would happen if you you died and God was there? Or you were in heaven, or what, you know, whatever, you know. And his answer was, well, I would say to God, I would say, sir, I made an honest mistake. And I thought about that over the years. And I think he's wrong. He did not make an honest mistake.
No.
He made a dishonest.
Made a mistake.
It was a dishonest mistake. Mm-hmm. If he had been honest about it, he would have. It would have been a different, but I, you know, sir, I made an honest mistake. It doesn't quite get it, you know. You know, Paul in Romans says they're without excuse when you consider all the creation.
Jewish leaders could say that too, I guess, and made an honest mistake.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be nice if it was that easy, huh? Of course, that doesn't mean that you got accepted.
No, that's right. Yeah, you could be honest and say, ah.
Nevertheless.
No do-overs.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it looks like. America is coming to with their time right now.
Coming to a fork, aren't we?
The day will come.
Is that as good as any? Is that a good place to stop?
Yeah.
They're
going to sit there and go, I'll be done.
I'll be wrong.
They heard it, they all get